Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, take three of The Beautiful Struggle, episode number six, with my special guest, Wes Pendleton. People used to think that we were brothers.
Yeah, for real.
You know, let's just start there.
Yeah.
Like, are y'all twins?
Yep.
Do we look like twins?
We really don't.
Maybe look like we're family, but not twins.
Yeah. We're brothers.
Yeah.
In the sense of we share melanin.
Yeah, that is correct.
But and we wear glasses.
That's true.
And I used to wear my beard long. And you used to be husky.
Huskier.
Yeah, huskier.
Significantly huskier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still husky, but yeah. So I've had people come up to me and say, are you the bear fruit guy?
Yo, I love your shirts.
Yeah, and I'm like, nah, that's not me. That's Octavius.
People have also done the same thing to me. They've been like, yo, man, I'm like, I don't make. Oh, you think I'm Wes? I'm honored. Should I be offended?
Right.
I don't know what to think about this. Yeah. But the voice you hear talking about stuff y'all don't even know we're talking about is Wes Pendleton, friend of mine for many moons. Actually, he's one of the guys that I was talking about Bear Fruit about before Bear Fruit even existed.
Indeed.
Sharing all my half-baked ideas and going through logos and stuff like that and listening to music and all this kind of fun stuff many moons ago before.
Yeah, that was a minute ago, bro.
Yeah, The Beautiful Struggle was even a twinkle in my eye.
Yeah, bro.
He's on the show because I want him to tell you his origin story. And he's an amazing musician, producer, specifically known for his music production that he's done, I would say. But he's expanding into other things right now. He's gone by other names as well. So you might know him as Teddy P.
Yep.
In the past. Somebody might have just been like, oh, that's that guy. I wonder what happened to him. So yeah, that's him. And I just think I love the music. I love the stuff, and I think he's a good guy. I think he's got an awesome story to tell, so hopefully you can be inspired by it. If you're new to The Beautiful Struggle, the reason why I do this is because I think that if you highlight the beauty and the struggle of the creative process, hopefully you can be inspired by the story. You're not just going to see this finished product. You don't just Google Wes Pendleton, go on iTunes, and go, oh, this guy's nice. But you can see that this guy is good, but connecting his story to it, hopefully that will allow you to be able to go, oh, I went through the same thing, or I'm struggling with the same thing, or this guy's a human being. You mean he's not just a beat machine and he just cranks stuff out and things are easy, you know?
It's definitely not easy, bro.
Yeah. So why don't you take us back to the beginning,
sure.
To the start, to the origin of Wes Pendleton.
Sure. And once again, thanks for having me on the show.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Take three.
But yeah, man, I started out, back in the day, we used to spend our Saturday mornings cleaning the house. And first and foremost, I'm from Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
born and raised, been here all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in a very, 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 very musical family. All my cousins and aunts and uncles either played instruments or they sang. And so my mom, even she sang too, very, very well. And on top of that, you know, we used to clean the house on Saturday mornings, and we would throw some vinyl on, and it kind of took the choreness of cleaning and made it more into like a family function. And some of my fondest memories are, you know, just listening to music and having fun with my mom and dad and my brother.
What kind of stuff were they playing?
Well, my parents are ministers, and so they don't play that, bro. So
they don't play that.
No. In their house, it's all gospel.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you get like a little soul, like some Lionel Richie or something like that. Mm-hmm. But pretty much it was just all gospel. So I grew up listening to like Shirley Caesar and James Cleveland and Hezekiah Walker. You know, as I got a little bit older, Andre Crouch, Clark Sisters, you know, all the classics, man, you know. And, you know, that really shaped my sound that you hear today. Just very, very soulful.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of feel to the music. And I definitely thank my parents for you know, kind of like, you know, letting my brother and I get immersed in that growing up, you know.
I call that steeping. Mm-hmm. Like when you make tea, if you know how to make tea, you don't take the tea bag and then dunk it in and out over and over again to make the color move around. You sit the tea bag in there and you just let it sit and let it steep. You're not so much looking for anything to happen. You're just immersing yourself in it.
Right.
And I found that a large majority of what I've picked up, I've caught more than I've been taught. Mm-hmm. You know, just being around a culture, being around a community, taking something in for a long time. And you don't even recognize how much some of these things affect you over time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, growing up in church, you know, growing up in the Black church especially, you know, there's just a lot of, there's a lot of emotion and there's a lot of passion. You know, people are serious about, you know, how they worship God. And it's different from other cultures. You know, there's just a lot of rhythm and a lot of dance and a lot of loudness.
Right.
But also there's, but there is a soft side to it. There is a reverence to it as well. And so I feel like all those things and growing up and being being influenced by those things growing up definitely lends to, you know, my sound and what I do today, for sure.
So how do we get from vinyl Saturday church to, you know, walk us a little bit through some of that process?
Yeah, well, my parents got me started early in music. I took piano lessons from five all the way through high school. I started playing trumpet.
Was that on you or was that
No, that was on them. You? Yeah, they made like, me play the piano. That's exactly what it was. And I mean, like, when I got to high school, I was, like, very angry about still having to take lessons. Oh, I hated it.
So this wasn't even like, you know what I want to do?
No, not at all.
What did you want to do instead?
Not at all. Well, I started playing trumpet in fourth grade, and I was really, really good at that, and that's what I wanted to do. And then on top of that, on Sunday mornings, I played drums at church. So I played instruments pretty much like all my life. And then about 19 or 20, I switched over from drums to the keys at church and kind of, you know, floated in between keyboard and organ, whatever the service would dictate. And yeah, man, I actually stopped playing a couple years back because I'm just focused, you know, on my own stuff now.
So why were they, what was the, like, motivation behind your parents being like, you're going to play this? Was there a reason or just because?
I think some of it was, you know, good musicians are kind of hard to come by, especially in Black church.
Really?
Yeah. Not if
you, or am I just spoiled because I live in Philadelphia and I just think that there's so many great musicians
here. Yeah, it's different now.
Okay.
So back in the day, you know, if you wanted a musician, you would have to pay him. And you would have to pay him good money, which is still the case today. So I think, you know, my parents were part of a church plant, and it was like, you know, 20 of us in our church. And so my Uncle Joe used to come and play the piano from his church. But then he would have to leave early, so we wouldn't have anybody to play.
Right.
And so I think they thought that if I learn the piano, then I can fill in when he stops playing and stuff like that. And, you know, it was just one of them things. I feel like, you know, I think I definitely think that they thought that they were doing the right thing. And, you know, I definitely don't, you know, look at what they were doing as like a bad thing. But it definitely wasn't what I wanted to do.
Right.
At all. But I'm grateful for them pushing me there because I never would have learned theory, you know, chord structure and stuff like that, which really, really helps me out today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's so true for a lot of things that I look back at from my mother, you know, and just coaches and people and just old heads, people who are older than you.
Right.
Who are like, young boy, listen to what I'm trying to tell you right now.
Yep.
Stop. Listen to me.
Yep.
I'm telling you, do this. I know you don't want to. I know you don't feel like it. You'd rather do this.
Yep.
But I remember there's a saying, like, you got to do what you got to do so that you can do what you want to do.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
And there's all kinds of lessons that I've learned by, you know, by mistake.
Right.
Because someone else was like, I know, just do what I'm saying.
Right.
It's hard, though.
Yeah. All I want to do is just play basketball. That's that's all I ever wanted to do.
So you weren't thinking about being no musician?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was just kind of an extracurricular activity for me. It wasn't something that I never saw myself as being a musician as an adult at all. Like, not at all. Nah.
So what you're doing now is not what you were sitting down and brainstorming and dreaming of?
No, when I was a kid, it was like basketball and drawing. That's all I did. So when I got to college, I went to a traditional university my first year and went for business, and then realized that that's probably just not, that probably wasn't, you know, the best place for me to be at the time. So then I ended up going to Art Institute of Philadelphia and taking graphic design there and put in my 2 years there. Mm-hmm. And then was kind of back, you know, kind of just out into the real world after that and couldn't find a job for anything.
Yo, I've heard this even with a couple different people who I've podcasted with, like, you know, going to school and kind of just being like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, bro.
You know, and you get in there and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this.
Right.
And then you start doing it and you're like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And then you do this and then you just kind of stumble into something.
Yep.
Or you find out you have this, you know, gift or talent that you've somehow created over time.
Right.
But it doesn't have anything to do with this traditional method that we've been taught of get good grades, go to school.
Absolutely.
Get good grades. And when you get out of school, woo, these jobs, they're going to be begging you to take this money.
Yep. I mean, that's the way I was raised. My dad pulled me off the basketball team 1 year because of my grades. And I mean, you want to talk about like the worst year ever? Because when I say all I was about was basketball, that's all I was about, bro. Mm-hmm. And so my dad, he threatened me. He said, if you don't keep the grades up, I'm gonna pull you off the team. Mm-hmm. So we're not even talking about report card grades. We're talking about midterm, interim report grades. So when you get your grade in the middle of the semester, and the teacher's like, "Yeah, you need to get your grade up, or you're going to get like a C." You know what I'm saying? My dad didn't care. You know, his whole thing was, you're not doing your homework, and if you can't do your homework, then you can't go to basketball practice.
Right. And I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, but
you know, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was extra bitter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At my dad. But I love my dad, man. He's like, I'm him junior. Mm. Like straight up. I'm like not even just in just looks.
Right.
But just the way that I am, just hard working guy. You know, blue collar, got to put in the work to get what you get. So,
right.
You know, it paid off in the long run.
Yeah. I think that those kind of lessons are stuff that a lot of us can relate to. You have to work hard, and there are things that are requirements. You know, if you are in something, then you need to do well at it. Like a lot of people are in jobs they don't want to do.
Right.
You know, and they can see something else beyond that that they really want to be a part of.
Right.
And that's great. That's good. However, you have to make sure that you are doing what you have to do if you're committed to something.
Absolutely.
And I don't want anyone to think that I'm advocating, man, screw this class that you paid for and you're in college.
Right.
And just go ahead and get these D's and C's
nah.
and whatever. That's not what I'm saying.
Get that paper, bruh.
Yeah. However, I am saying that I heard pretty consistently that there's more than just getting a degree.
Yep.
You know, it's not if you just get this, everything's going to be okay.
Right. Especially nowadays.
Yeah. Because I think you have to have something that makes you unique. Mm-hmm. You know, some sort of skill and some sort of unique experience that's going to make someone go, oh, yes, it makes sense why I'm going to give you this money.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I mean, what you said in a nutshell is pretty much the exact reason why I've been successful now is because let's say I decided to start doing music, but I didn't go to school for graphic design. Mm-hmm. Then I wouldn't have the visual aesthetic to go along with the audible aesthetic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So going to school, learning how to use the tools, the right way. Mm-hmm. Really set it up for me to be able to be successful today, because not only am I able to bring something to the table in audio format, when people see what I can bring to the table visually and how those two things gel together, it just totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And nowadays you can't just be good. You can't just sound good. You have to have the whole package. Mm-hmm. And so I've been blessed to be able, I mean, I'm not like, like this like thin, good looking guy or nothing like that. So I don't have that. But, you know, man, I can, you know, package the hell out of something and, you know, and make it look and sound good. You know what I'm saying? And make you think that, you know what, if I put my money into this, it's definitely going to be worth my investment and moving forward.
Yeah. Getting a, being able to communicate through design is huge. Cause it's like, I've heard someone say it's problem solving.
It is.
You know, how did that resonate with you just now? Problem solving?
I mean, it literally, it's all about the human psyche, you know, that that's all it is. And so how am I going to be able to convey what I am about without being able to sit and do a podcast or a radio show to explain that? And that's where design comes in, to be able to say, oh, this is what we're about and this is what we do. Now, everybody's not going to get it, but that's okay. Not everything is made for everybody. You know, even my style, I have a very niche style. And so I get people who are more to like a mainstream sound. They just don't get it.
Yeah.
They just don't get it.
They don't get your stuff?
No, not at all. So if you're like, if you grew up around that, or if that's kind of the niche that you like, then you get it. But if that's not what you're around, if you listen to like the radio and like, whatever the guys that run the radio, I don't even know, Clear Channel. Like, if all you listeners is like Clear Channel radio, you're not going to get what I do. Just, it's not going to happen.
Or it may be,
Exactly.
Kind of like, what is this? There's a lot of stuff out there like that, that at first listen, you're like, what?
Right.
Because this does, it sounds foreign to you.
Right.
I know for your stuff, though, I don't know, and I don't know why it resonates with me, but ever since we did Fruit Cocktail way back, you know what I mean? Like, your production just resonated with me. Like, the soulful sounds resonated with me. It just sounded rich, and maybe it's because I'm really into quality, like things that sound like they're worth something, you know? Like, your production sounds rich. It sounds, it reminds me of like expensive taste. That's what it reminds me of. Where other things sound, and this is no diss, but other things sound synthetic. Right. They sound disposable.
Right.
They sound like I could just get another one. Nah, no big deal. I just grab another one. Right. You know? Where a lot of your stuff sounds unique. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense.
Is that intentional or is that just kind of like, oh, that's just how it comes out?
I mean, it's, again, it's a to me, it's a culmination of growing up how I grew up, and then also too being from this city specifically. So this city is all about soul. I mean, you know, you could talk about Detroit, you know, being a really soulful place, obviously with the birth of Motown out there. But Philadelphia has a different type of soul. Philadelphia International, you know, bringing out that sound in the late 70s and the 80s. And so there's a sound that comes from the city that's not easily duplicated. And it's just kind of ingrained in us. And some people don't even know that they have it. But when they hear it, they know what it is, you know.
I also think of like, again, this might have to do with my upbringing. I also think of like seasoned veterans when I hear your music too. I think of, you know, I do think of old stuff, but not old in a sense of like old man, but I think old in a sense of wise.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to think of words right now to kind of break it down. And, you know, if you guys, it's Wes's stuff is easy to get a hold of. And I think if you actually listen to it, you'll kind of understand where I'm coming from. So when you are going in to produce or make beats or whatever like that, is there like a format or are you just kind of like sitting down and things are flowing?
Well, you know, some people might not know, but to reiterate, I'm a sample based producer primarily. And so I do produce things from scratch, but 95% of the time I'm going through old classic records, most of which you probably never heard of, and finding finding a sound and then manipulating it into my own thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's some of where the richness comes from, in that, you know, it's being taken from a format that's made to be like really, really round and wide and rich in sound. And then taking it and making it into something new that makes sense in 2015. Mm-hmm. So I just think that sampling is one of those art forms that's just it's a place to be in reverence of where we've come from, mm-hmm. and still keeps alive the sound of yesteryear. And even though it doesn't sound exactly like it might have sounded in 1973 or 74 or whatever, that sound and what those guys were about still resonates today in 2015. You know what I'm saying? And how I do it, I might bring the format to sound like, okay, this is dope for 2015. But at the end of the day, those guys were killing it. You know
So were those guys, were they like just thinking differently? Were there different values?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, there wasn't this like, let's sit down and make a song in 10 minutes and put it on the internet and then it's live. No, you had to sit down and you had to write the song, and then you had to break it down into 4-part harmony. Mm-hmm. And then not only was there a band, but there's probably an orchestra that goes behind it too. And then you're recording on reels, not to a digital workspace. And so you have engineers, multiple engineers, who are painstakingly going through and editing by hand. Hmm. So it's just very...
I don't even know what that means, by hand.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, they used to record to reels, like tape. Like you know what a cassette tape looks like?
Yeah.
Think about like a really big cassette tape, like this big.
My godmother has one of those in her house.
And two reels, right? So when you edit on that, you have to go get a piece of chalk, and you have to put a line where you want to splice something. Then you got to go get some tape, and you got to splice it together.
You got to cut it and tape it together?
That's how they used to edit back in the day. Yep. This is after the one take. This is when they started to get better at, you know. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an easy process. It cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so you couldn't suck and put out music back then.
Yeah.
If somebody going to put a couple thousand dollars into one song, you better be damn good at what you do.
Right.
It's just what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So how do you feel about, you know, music now? You know what I mean? Because, well, I think I have a couple questions. Because one, I think there was a time I specifically remember. Well, I mean, I know Kanye West wasn't the dude who created this. You know, there's, you can go J Dilla, Madlib, and all kinds of stuff like that. But I remember when sampling was like the way. Mm-hmm. To make beats, like that's the sound we had,
right?
And right now, it seems like there's a lot more of a digital synthetic sound. While there's still samples,
right?
You know what I mean? How do you feel about kind of how you just described the work ethic and like the dedication to music versus now?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, so we started out sampling because we couldn't afford instruments,
right?
And
when you say we, you're talking basically about
the pioneers of hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, so the pioneers were mainly inner city kids, and their parents didn't have any money for them to get an instrument. And so what they would do is they would save up their little pennies, do what they had to do, and they go find themselves a sampler. There's a couple hundred different types of samplers, you know, a few that are kind of the staples of the hip hop culture. But, you know, they would get a sampler, and they could sample, you know, 2 or 3 seconds at a time. And, you know, basically it was just ingenuity that allowed them to create something that really didn't have a lot to it. It was like a 4-track sampler and a mic. And that's just what you do. So, you know, sampling is hip hop. I mean, it just is. And so it's always been there. It's never going to go away. Mm-hmm. No matter how hard people try to dumb this stuff down and to make it into like the stuff that we hear on the radio. But I'm one of those people. I'm not an old curmudgeon. Like, you know, I feel like every sound has its place. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to turn up, I'm not mad at people turning up. Like, if that's what you want to hear, like, if you know, you go down to Atlanta, I mean, that's their sound.
Yeah.
It's turn up. And so that's part of their culture. So you can't hate on that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just what they do. So, but at the same time, I do feel like that the powers that be frown upon sampling and make it hard to get samples cleared and stuff like that. And so why you see less of it.
So wait, you think that people are going out of their way to make sampling harder to do in an attempt to stop it from happening as much?
Not necessarily, but just because people are so just all about money now. So it used to be.
It's not a good business practice.
It's not. So So what happens is you get artists that realize that they can literally make, they have been irrelevant for 20, 30, 35, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And there's a big name artist who comes out, who's found one of their old records and has sampled one of their tracks. And
so makes a lot.
They're like, hey, listen, their lawyer's like, hey, you could come up on this.
Right.
And be back in the fast lane like you was back in 71. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so they ask for this astronomical amount of money, which is their right. Yep. They own the rights to the music. They can charge whatever they want.
Right.
But sometimes you would wish that they would understand that it's like a nod to them and they should just be appreciative of the art form. And so go get your money. But like, I just wish they wouldn't hamstring people so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know,
I know J. Cole was talking about that at the end. Is it on the album? He's saying like, yo, man, listen, they almost not let us get this track. Y'all just got to let us do whatever. I mean, it's new music or something like that. Because it's a hard con. I mean, I never made no music.
Right.
But I have seen people steal Bear Fruit's ideas, you know. And I have seen a lot of artists really get bent out of shape, you know, because it's like, yo, you stole my idea.
Right.
Versus, no, I was inspired.
Right.
By many things,
right.
And there are no new ideas under the sun. So
it's
hard, for at least in my mind, to be able to kind of go what's right and what's wrong, because I can see where an old artist would be like, well, hold up, wait a minute.
Right.
I made, you know, I was the one who took the chalk and taped these two things together, like you said. I was the one who struggled and so and so.
Right.
So you just take my work.
Right.
And then you chop, and now you went and made all this dough. What's up? Help me out.
Yeah.
And then, but at the same time, I can be like, but I made a whole new song, you know? Like, you did, I did work too. You didn't make this. So for you to take credit, like, you made this song, you didn't make this song.
Right.
You know?
It's a fine line. It's definitely a fine line. It's, you know, if they didn't do what they did, you wouldn't be able to do what you do.
Right.
So there is an amount of respect that says like, hey man, I really appreciate what you did because what you did allowed me to do what I did.
Right.
And this joint wouldn't be fire if you hadn't laid the fire down 30 years ago. You
right.
know what I'm saying? And so that's the thing. It's like, I don't think artists ever have any issue with giving credit or even breaking off the original artists, you know, a couple points and percentages, you know, from what they get. But it's just, you know, the over commercialization of everything, you know, everybody just wants to, you know, to be able to do what you do. And, you know, that's why I just don't feel like music has any value anymore. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you don't have people spending a lot of money on music, because people don't value music the same way that they do, because it's expendable, literally. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. Music is expendable because of our ability to access it so easily. Like, it's just a part, like Spotify and iTunes are just on your phone whether you want it or not.
Yep. And it's not just music. I mean, everything is expendable now. You know what I mean? It is what it is. And we don't place value on the arts like we used to. You know, the arts used to be, in my opinion, they used to be just as important as law, you know what I'm saying, back in the day. But it's not that way anymore.
Tell me more about that. about how you feel about we don't really value the arts.
Well, it's just, you know, like nowadays you got, you know, like school systems are canceling like all the arts programs and stuff like that, you know, because they don't have the budget to do it. And it's like those things are really the foundation of kids. Kids need the arts. Like they really, really do. It's really what helps to shape their character, you know what I'm saying, and helps them, in my opinion, to build a foundation of who they're going to be as adults. And when you strip that away from them, I just feel like we're getting to a place more and more where we're just creating people to be worker bees and just, you know, just punching in and clocking out every day and going home and getting on their drone robot status of just like, well, I got to go to school so I can get my degree so that I can make money and make and get a family and so they can retire do the same thing. And die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And there's like no fun in between. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the arts are the one thing that brings color to life, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. I was thinking as you were saying this, kind of had an epiphany, like it seems like in some cases the arts are a thing that is directly associated with youth.
Yep.
In almost a sense of immaturity.
Yep.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Get a real job.
Yep.
Kind of deal, you know? Or if it's like, you know, I mean, I've really been chewing on this myself lately, just to be transparent about, man, do I have a skill? Do I have a trade?
Right.
Or is my skill my back?
Yep.
Like my ability to sweat and work, where I've been groomed to kind of fit in any old slot and just be a hand, a brain, and a body and work. You know what I'm saying? But I haven't been groomed to have a unique special set of skills that are more marketable,
right?
You know, and it's almost like if you do kind of go, no, I'm not going to just go and get a degree just to get it. I'm going to go and specialize. I'm going to become a musician. I'm going to become an artist. I'm going to become a singer, an actor, a dancer, or this or that, you know, a welder or, you know, a roofer or a plumber or some sort of trade. Like you're saying, like these things that very much are not expendable because any old person can't do them.
Yep.
It seems like a higher value has been placed on be a drone. Come on, we need them.
Yep.
That's what we need. Not, and this is no, I mean, please, if this is offending anyone, I apologize. That's not my intention. But I'm just trying to be transparent and think through it, real life, kind of like, I don't want to be a drone. Right. You know, I don't really want to just kind of fit in any old slot. And we need people to do all those things. That's why I'm trying to be delicate what I'm saying, because it's not either or. But like, think what you're saying about like, yeah, people treat the arts like they're expendable. They're not really.
Yeah, I mean, there literally is, you know, it is one of those things. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me. I know this is going to sound dumb, but one of the greatest things that's happened to me as an adult was when my dad, when he got it, what I do. Because I come from a very, very traditional family. Both my parents went to school. My mom went to Ivy League school. And, you know, both of them worked what I would consider, you know, the traditional corporate and medical type of, they had corporate and medical real type jobs. Of careers. Quote unquote, real jobs, and made a lot of money, provided a great life for me and my brother. And so that's why when I went to college, it was like, well, I'm going to go to school for business. Because when I visit my dad at work, he is sitting at a wood desk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that's probably what I want to do because that's what I think, that's what I thought being a grown up meant.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where I realized like, yeah, my brain just doesn't work that way.
Yo, man, I'm telling you. These podcasts free me up, you know, like when I hear people say stuff like that, I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, but my brain doesn't work like that. Is that wrong? Is there something wrong with me?
Right.
Like, I don't aspire to that.
Right.
I almost feel like I got to keep that to myself.
Right.
Like, don't say that in a room full of people, because all the heads are going to whoosh, turn to you like Inception and look at you like, what's wrong with this guy?
Right. And you know what the crazy thing is, too? If you actually look at anything that becomes mainstream starts in the underground and, you know, like on the like just on the ground level, anything that's mainstream has started there first. And so the guys that you and I look up to, you know, like you, for instance, like you look up to a Johnny Cupcakes, you know what I'm saying? Or you look up to a Bobby and Ben.
Hundreds. Benny Gold and them dudes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you look at those guys, and those guys are some of the hardest working guys that you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
And so there is a blue collarness to what they do,
mm-hmm.
but they make the same amount of money as somebody who went to school for 8 years.
Right.
And is sitting in a, you know, a really, really nice office, which is really, really dope. We need you to go to school and to get the job in the office down in downtown and stuff like that.
Yeah, people do need to do that.
Yes. But there's a whole bunch of us who don't necessarily fit that mold. And the difference is that you can be creative, but you gotta work, bruh.
Hmm.
Like you can't wanna be a creative. And by the way, the word creative, I was laughing because I was talking to my buddy Rashid about this the other day. And he was like, man, the title creative is BS, man. He was like, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, for the purposes of what we're saying, you understand what I'm saying when I say creative. Like somebody who's able to take their idea and to put it to work and to make a living from their idea, you know, but on the grassroots level.
Yeah.
Those guys, when they first started, they didn't sleep.
Hmm.
They couldn't afford anything. They slept in their car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Master P.
They ate ramen noodles.
All them dudes sell out the trunk.
For real, bruh. And so everybody kind of wants to be, they want to be the guy who's like real cool and does this and this and that. But they want to get it in 5 minutes, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's really where you see the trash of today. Where you see people that are half-heartedly doing something, and you know they have the idea, which by the way isn't theirs. They they see somebody else doing it, and they're like, "That's what I want to do." But don't in that process figure out how you're going to do you in your way. So, how Benny Gold, Bobby Hundreds. Jeff Staple and all these guys, how they did what they did, that works for them. You're not going to be able to manufacture and copy and paste what they did. It's not going to happen.
Wes, let me tell you how you're reading my mail right now. Yo, I'm so like, for real, man. That's been like, I love like this. I don't know how to, you know this about me, people might not. I don't know how to like be fake and act.
You don't.
So for me, it's hard for me to sit here and go, yeah, that's not me. Yo, I've had people email me, can you tell me how you started Bear Fruit? First of all, I don't know what you think Bear Fruit is.
Right.
You know, because I'm not Johnny Cupcakes, the Hundreds, of Jeff Staple at all by any stretch of imagination. However, one of the biggest struggles I've had is how can I be like that?
Right.
I want to be like him.
Right.
I want to do what he's doing.
Right.
You know, instead of, man, I'm inspired by that.
Yep.
You know, let me be inspired to take the first step on the journey.
Exactly.
You know, it's I want what Jeff Staple has. I want that success. I want to make these cool designs. And that's been one of the biggest struggles with even doing this stuff.
Right.
Is constantly comparing myself to the people I admire and getting frustrated when I'm not as successful, quote, what is success,
right?
You know, as them. And the way that I'm starting, you know, like they say, if you go, man, I'm humble, as soon as you say I'm humble, you officially disqualify yourself. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, or I'm an arrogant person pursuing humility.
Right.
So I can't say that I've fixed it, because that's not true.
Right.
But my first step is, you know, getting people around me to keep me sober about this is where you really are.
Right.
Jeff Staple, that dude's on level 10.
Yeah, and he's been doing this for like over 20 years.
It's not even fair to compare yourself. Yep. You might be on level 1.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
And you have to recognize the time under tension, the, you know, the cuts, bruises, scars, and work that Jeff Staple, Benny Gold, Johnny Cupcakes, Bobby Ben Hundreds, Madlib, J Dilla, Pharrell, yep. Kanye, all these people, like, and it's not in a matter of like, yo, you have to go through this.
Right.
But manage your expectations.
Right.
Like, have a realistic understanding of that's what, and that's why I wanted to do this podcast, because it's conversations like this that make me sit back and go, I'm being way too hard on myself.
Right.
I'm not on that level. I need to be able to understand where I'm at.
Right.
And what do I need to do today? What do I need to start today to move myself on the journey towards where I want to go? And at the same time, be able to go, you know what? Andrew Chen and 316 and what they do, I love it.
Right.
But I'm not Andrew Chen, and Bear Fruit's not 316.
Right.
You know? So what can you learn from him?
Right.
What can you learn from them? What kind of best practices? And I think that's what I hope people get from this, is to be able to go, well, you know, how come no one's received my music like Wes Pendleton? I tried to make actual cassette tapes and nobody bought them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How come Wes can sell actual cassettes and I can't sell cassettes? It's like, well, you're not Wes.
You know,
and that's not dissing, but it's like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, to piggyback off what you're saying, I know for a fact that there are guys who do production, who make beats, that I know who, I don't want to say they don't like me, but they just don't care for me, because they feel like that they can do what I do, but they haven't necessarily had, you know, some of the level of success that I've been able to have up until this point. And I'm just one of those people. I don't believe in any types of luck. I don't believe in cosigns and stuff like that. You can, there is going to be a time where somebody can big you up, and that kind of is the one thing that kind of gets your career started, but you got to keep that going. So they can give you the hey, this is my man's. But if you don't have the wherewithal to keep that going from that point, then it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? And like, people don't understand what it takes to even get a marginal amount of success. They really don't, bro. They really don't. The internet has everybody bamboozled. And so sometimes I want to be like, you know, like Jordan is like, you know, some people had this saying where they're like, you know, you wasn't with me in the gym. You know what I'm saying? When I was getting up shots.
Right.
It's the same thing with me. Like, everybody's just like, hey, man, it's so dope to see what you do. But they weren't with me when I would go to my 9-to-5 and come home and hang out with my wife, play with my then baby daughter. And when they would go to bed at 9:30, 10:00. Then that's when I would get on the music.
I remember this.
Yes, and work on that till 6 o'clock in the morning, go to sleep for an hour or two, get up, take the quickest shower ever, throw on some clothes, and go back to my 9-to-5 and be like a zombie for half the day. You know what I'm saying? People don't want to, they don't want to do that type of thing nowadays.
Why is that?
Because people are lazy.
But what, I mean, is it, okay, so maybe, now, okay, I'm going to ask you to be honest.
Sure.
Maybe I'm assuming positive intent. Is it that people do not understand, or are they lazy, or a mixture? Is it like they're mismanaged their expectations? We haven't done a good job communicating the reality?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I also think that part of it is that this generation is that, like, you can be anything you want to be generation, which is crap. you can't be anything you want to be all the time. Sometimes you're going to think that you're going to be able to do something, and when you try to do it, it doesn't work. And then you have to say, hey, I gave it my all. I put my 100 into it.
Yeah.
did everything I could, and it just didn't work out. And then you move on there, and you find something else that you're good at to do. Everybody wants to just kind of just be able to do what they want to do, and think that they're going to make $60,000, $70,000, $100,000. It's not like that.
Yeah.
You know, even with what I do, you know, and I'm going to keep it 100 right now. I mean, there's sometimes the ebb and flow is in such contrast, bro. I mean, like, it'll be like the highest of highs, and then I could hit a quarter where it's just like, man, I might have made like, you know, $2,000 in like 2 months.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what am I doing with my life again?
What have I done?
You know what I'm saying?
What have I done?
And I have my wife and my daughter, and, you know, we still got to pay, you know, rent and stuff like that. You know, we're trying to buy a house now and all this stuff. And it's just like, so I go to bed and I'm like, Wes, you suck.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You are wasting your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's...
So that really happens. It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Oh, not at all. But if anything... In when you're successful, it's actually less rainbows.
Wait, explain that.
So there's so much sweat that goes into what you want to do when you're working for yourself that nobody ever sees. Nobody ever sees because it's not glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take a picture of sweat equity and put it on Instagram.
I wish y'all could see my face right now, because that's a jewel right there.
You just can't.
That's very true. True.
You just can't. It doesn't work that way.
It's hard to display sweat.
It's impossible. So,
or even get a good, even if you take a picture, quote, of it.
Exactly.
It really can't fully equate.
Exactly. So the only amount of the only amount of goodness that you can see 9 times out of 10 is really what the end result is,
mm-hmm.
and how it does once it's placed out into the open market. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So perfect example. I'm dropping a tape in a week and a half. It's called Vine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beat tape. It's like 19 tracks. And I'm not using this as a promo. I'm just using this as an example.
Use it as a promo.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, this is a promo. But I'm using this as a point.
Mm-hmm.
So beat culture is a culture in and of itself, and it's its own thing. It doesn't look like anything else. It's its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mirror what you hear on the radio, what you see on TV. It's not that. It's its own thing. It kind of has its own rules, which is really kind of like no rules, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
But the way we go about manufacturing what we do is just different from the mainstream conscious, if that makes sense. So I put this joint together, and I wanted to take it back to the essence and put it on a cassette, right? And it's going to be available digitally, obviously, but I wanted to put it on cassette, and I wanted to do a limited run, because I wanted the people who were able to have it to be able to say, like, yo, I got like one of the few copies, because exclusivity is very, very important, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So during the process of pushing this, I kept on getting these random comments, like on my Instagram, and people were saying stuff to me on Twitter, not really on Facebook, but on those two specifically. And it was basically, they were basically saying, like, I don't get it. You know, so why would you put it on cassette?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people still listen to cassette. That doesn't make any sense. Blah, 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 blah. Right. And so my response to them is always like, if you don't get it, then you don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole bunch of people who absolutely get it.
Right.
So I did a limited run. Them Jones sold out in 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So again, it's like, that's a marginal level of success, in my opinion.
Right.
In that I was able to succeed in exactly what I planned to do. And there's going to be people who get what you do and people who don't. But to me, it's just like, that's one of those things I can hang my hat on and say, this is what happens when you put in the work. You have people who believe in what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be something that seems like, well, that's kind of weird. I don't think that people still do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And this and this and that. And you're still going to be successful at what you do. You know, mm-hmm. to the point now where I'm having distribution outlets overseas now wanting to pick the tape up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, I already sold out of my tapes. So do I have to make 50 more or 100 more to give to them? So I say all that to say, you know, the level of success is just going to look different for everybody. And really, you can't see how I got to that point by looking at my Instagram mm-hmm. or what I tell you
mm-hmm.
through social media, if that makes right. sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's why storytelling is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honest storytelling.
Yep.
I mean, of course I love comic books and movies and TV shows.
Oh, you love comic books.
Oh, I love comic books. But, you know, I think one of the things that draws me to it is story is one of the effective ways of actually creating the,
Exactly.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And maybe I don't fully understand the whole thing that you went through,
right?
But it's a good way to be able to get someone to go, I never thought about it like that,
right?
You know, and I think the story that I'm hearing, this is something that I saw at one of my friends owns a CrossFit gym, and when I went in one day, I saw written on the whiteboard, not the whiteboard, there's, you know, like, welcome, come on in, kind of thing,
right?
She had written, "Good things come to those that hustle."
Straight up.
And I was like, did you make this up? And she's like, no, I just Googled hustle one day and it came up on the internet. And I was like, you ain't never wrote anything truer.
Yep.
I mean,
and
that's...
And it's basic, bro.
But the thing is like, it's basic, like the way that was written, because I was like, yo, did you, you know, that's why I was so excited. I asked her, did you make this up?
Right.
And she was like, no, it just resonated with me when I saw it because right. it's like a comedian who tells a really good joke. It's funny because it's true.
Yep.
You know, that's why it resonated with her. That's why it resonated with me.
Right.
But the application of it yep. is supremely difficult.
Totally different, bro.
You know?
Totally different. Yeah, I mean, everybody that I'm friends with that is having success right now, they work their behind off, bro.
That's a hard lesson. It's a really hard lesson.
Yeah, bro.
For me, with Bear Fruit, mm-hmm. there are areas where I wish we were more successful. And the reality of it is, you don't deserve to be more successful.
Mm.
You actually don't work as hard as them.
Mm.
But you want me to just give it to you?
Mm.
And it's like Charlemagne, you know Charlemagne from, yeah. He has a saying that goes, you're never as good as they say you are. You're never as bad as they say you are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think it's easy to resonate with is you're never as bad as they say you are. Oh, thank you. Oh, that makes me feel great. But wait. But you're probably not as good as you think you are.
Exactly.
You're probably not really working as hard as you say you're working.
Right.
You really probably, man, how come you're in such good shape? I work out just as much as you do. That person's probably looking at you like, do you? Oh, really? Yeah, everybody else is making gains, and poor you.
Yeah,
you just can't happen to shed these. Now, are there exceptions to the rule? Yes, but the exception proves the rule.
Exactly.
You know, like there's a formula to it. You know what I
yep.
mean? And there's no guarantee that you're gonna look like him or her or have the success, but the common denominator is she, he, they tend to probably just outwork, out hustle.
That's all it is, bro.
You know?
I mean, that's all it is. Like I said, I grew up playing ball, and you learn a lot from playing on a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be guys on your team who are really not that good that will make the team because they work harder than everybody else.
Yeah.
And so if there is a rebound to be gotten, and then the other thing is that they flourish in the things that don't get praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to get points when you play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's all people care about. They want to see you dunk. They want to see you hit a three from 8 feet behind a three-point line, right? Mm-hmm. That's all people Curry. Care. Exactly. Right. That's all people care about. What they don't see, though, is that like 90% of the NBA guys are really in there just to play defense and get rebounds.
Mm.
So are you going to be a professional basketball player because you want to get rebounds and play defense? Or do you want to be in the NBA because you want to score 25, 30 points a game and get all the hype and endorsements and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So we see, like, when I think about Bear Fruit and I think about what I do, we're the guys that get defense, that play defense and get rebounds. Like,
right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's like, for myself, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very proud of what I've been able to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never going to be this big, huge icon.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. If it does happen, then we need to go back and re-edit this. But I just don't see it happening.
Well, you mean, because we do, well, I want to say, I say we because I'm assuming we believe the same thing. You don't believe in luck, but you do believe in being blessed.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
There are things that are just like, man, how did I get here? You could have never written this story.
Yeah.
You know? So blessings do come.
Mm-hmm.
God does shine on the just and the unjust, and he just decides, here you go.
True.
You know, because he sees fit.
True.
However, comma, if that's a blessing. That's not something for you to, you know,
yep.
Shall we fall back and chill so that blessings may abound?
Yep.
Surely not.
I am of the belief, I'm right there with you, I am of the belief that hard work makes room for the blessing.
Hmm.
And if you are given a God-given talent, if you don't work hard with that talent, it's not going to mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, you know, it's like that old like common church saying that we probably heard growing up, going to a black church, like, you know, but God gives the increase.
Huh?
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Won't he do it?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? but you still gotta put in that work. You know what I'm saying?
I make things into baby talk for me to understand them.
Mm.
So like when I was trying to understand how God blesses sometimes and the way God structures things is like, if you're in a pitch black room, you're like, it's really dark in here. You know how you turn the light on? You walk over and flick the light switch.
Right.
There is a method that God has created to make things happen. So it's still him doing it, but he structured it so it only happens when a certain thing is activated.
I feel you, bro.
You know what I mean? So you might walk around, it's so dark in here. Mm. Somebody turn the lights on. And it may just be, within the analogy, God's like, I've structured so the lights turn on when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's a certain way that things work. And it seems like one of those light switches to turn the lights on for a large majority of people is hustle.
Straight up.
Work hard. Or just move. I'm in a place right now where it's like, I don't know where I'm going. I just know that I need to move aggressively in this direction.
Yep.
You know, and I think for a lot of people listening, you may be in that scenario where you're like, but what's at the other end? Hey.
It's not for you to know.
It's not about all that.
Yep.
But what you need to do is, one, like there's an OG weightlifting coach, powerlifter, Travis Mash. One of his sayings is, some of the best athletes are masters of the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Go to sleep. Get your 8 to 9 hours.
Yep.
Make sure you eat. Make sure you sleep.
Yep.
Make sure you're drinking your water. Make sure you get enough protein.
Yep.
You know, but this guy's genetics. It's like, yeah, but it's not just genetics. This dude, the little things,
the
he has mastered things, the tiny yep. things. He manages his stress. And that's one thing. But, you know, it really comes down to, are you going to hustle hard enough? Are you going to actually take that step and walk in that direction?
Right.
And do the small things that need to be done and keep your eyes and ears open for opportunities that present themselves.
Right. I mean, that's my career in a nutshell. And then also too, not like you can't even flex on the small things. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, like you were using, you know, CrossFit as an example, or mm-hmm. people who are or who are really into body shaping and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you don't get on Instagram and Twitter, or Twitter the next day and Facebook, and it's like, bruh,
got this sleep.
I drank mad water last night. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't never posted my water intake.
You know what I'm saying?
Never was.
You can't flex on that stuff because nobody cares.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that to me that's where my gifting is that I don't care about like letting people in. If that makes sense.
You don't feel responsible.
Yeah, I don't
document that for
exactly,
folks.
Bro. Because mm-hmm. nobody cares about that stuff to begin mm-hmm. with. But then it's just like there is you know, it's almost like it's weird. It's almost like a how can I say this? It's almost like sacred in the small things. You know what I'm saying? Because it's such that's really where your will comes into place. And so if you're not mentally strong enough to keep a schedule and to do the really, really small things that are mad mm-hmm. annoying, mm-hmm. You're not going to have like great success. It's just not going to happen, mm-hmm. you know.
But what do you do if you're the person listening to this podcast, me, and you're like, oh man, Wes is tearing me up right now. You know what I mean? I don't do that. I don't do this. I failed. Because I mean, you know, I'm not there. But there is stuff that you're saying that's making me go, dag. And even as I'm saying things, I'm like, man, I'm talking about me. I'm the guy that needs to, you know. What do you do if you're the guy, girl, business owner who's like, everything he's saying I don't shouldn't do, I'm doing those things?
I mean, It's literally a personal thing, man. Like it's mm-hmm. it's got to be the thing that you find within yourself. And if you can't find it within yourself, and if you can't find joy in what you do within yourself, you're never going to be able to convey that to people that you want to buy into what you do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So when you do what you do just because you want to make money, people can read that from a mile away. Mm-hmm. When you do what you do because you genuinely love it, people will get it. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And to me, when you really do love it in that way, that's when you do the small mundane stuff. Mm. That's when you do the things that it's like you're not going to get a pat on the back about.
Right.
And be like, good job, baby. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, to me the greatest, the guys who really, really get it, and the guys who have been able to sustain their creativity for a long time, those are the guys that get up at 6 a.m. and are at work in 45 minutes to an hour, and then they don't get home till 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. and they're still probably working at night too. Mm-hmm. So unless you want to do those types of things, I really don't see, maybe this is just not made for you, and mm-hmm. maybe you just need to get a worker bee career, which mm-hmm. is totally fine. You know what I'm saying? Because maybe you'll find fulfillment in that.
I guess what I'm hearing you say is that the cost of entry to success in this lifestyle and the requirements for success are greater than the worker bee method of operation, because there's more guarantee that way.
It's a different type of success. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's different when you're working for yourself and when you're working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Because the person, if you're working for somebody else, that guy has already done all the grunt work. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you're mm-hmm. just kind of coming there collecting off of what mm-hmm. that person's able to do. And by all means, if that's what your hustle is, get your hustle on, bruh.
Right.
But for the rest of us who started from scratch, who didn't have anything, who didn't have any followers, you know, and are just trying to make a living, you know, doing what you love to do, you know, it's going to be a little rough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I want to hit one more thing.
Sure.
Before we get out of here, you said something about people who don't receive you well. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't receive your music, they don't receive your ideas, or they just feel like, man, I should be in that spot, or why are you doing that? That's dumb.
Right.
I mean, that's... Oh, one thing that I wanted to say about the person who may... Excuse me, I know I'm jumping all over the place.
That's okay.
About the person who might be like, man, I do all these things, I'm doing all the wrong stuff, what should I do? One of the things that came to my mind is, I know the guys at Merchline, they have this saying, start today.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. start today. Let today be, like, I think self-awareness is a big deal. If you have it, it's a great trait to have. Right. If you lack it, oh boy.
Right.
There's a bad spot to be in.
It definitely is.
You got to be able to look in the mirror and really see what's there.
Yep.
You know, so if you're hearing something right now that resonates with you, one, praise God, be thankful that you actually are seeing yourself rightly. Because right. there are people who are like you or worse, and they're like, I ain't like that. Right. And y'all all know that person. You hate that person. You can't tell them nothing. They always right, and they're never wrong. Right. But you're not that person.
Right.
You're the person who goes, oh, that's me. So don't feel so bad that you're paralyzed. Rejoice about the fact that, man, I'm alive.
Right.
You know, I'm mm-hmm. alive. You pricked me and I felt it, because there are people who get pricked and don't feel it.
Right.
You know, and use this as an opportunity to start taking steps in the right direction and understand that the journey is the destination. You're never going to necessarily arrive and then I'm here, I can stop now. You know, it's constantly going to be on a journey. And you're going to keep moving forward and get creative peers around you who can continuously point out the things and that you can learn from.
Exactly. I mean, that's like you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about self-awareness. It's all about knowing what you can and can't do,
mm-hmm.
knowing why you do what you do. If you don't know why you do what you do, you're not going to succeed, bro. It's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you can't pinpoint and say, yo, this is exactly why I do what I do. This is what makes me get up in the morning
yeah.
and keeps me going during the day. You're mm-hmm. not going to succeed. And when that starts to go away, then maybe it's just time to hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
It's just that if it doesn't make you tick, it's okay to lay it down. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you put your time and your effort into it. And you just realize that it's just not working out, it's all right to put it down. You know what I'm saying?
And a lot of times it's good for you not to be the only person who has eyes on the situation.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. That's the best part about being married and being somebody
great stuff. They're going to tell you about yourself.
Yeah. Because my wife with the quickness will be like, what did you work on today? And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I did such and such, you know, this and this and this. And then, you know, so some days it's like, oh, man, that's awesome. And then other days it's like, yeah, it's like, but what else did you do? And mm-hmm. it's just like, yeah, that's pretty much all I did today. And then you just get the, oh, okay. And it's just like, yeah, I probably could have did a little bit more today.
She's trying to say something right now.
Exactly. Saying something without saying something. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But, like, for me, the thing that keeps me going is – you know, being a father and a husband
mm-hmm.
and wanting, especially with my daughter, I want my daughter to see what it means to work hard and to be about something every day. You know what I'm saying? Not the money part, because the money is going to be there. It's going to come and go. But really the, you know, I'm getting up every day and I'm doing what I do. And I'm like really about it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I learned from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would work every day. He would come home, then he'd be at church all night. And then on the weekends, he'd be cutting grass all day and you know, building stuff in the basement and doing all this stuff. And, you know, my dad was super handy. And so when you grow up seeing somebody that works every day, that's going to be ingrained in you. My brother's the same way. My brother puts in definitely like 60 hours a week worth of work, you know what I'm saying? And he's been successful because of it. So, you know, if there's anything that you can take from me from this podcast, is you got to work your behind off, man. That's mm-hmm. it. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, that last question I was going to get you. What do you do with that hard work that you put in, that hustle,
mm-hmm.
and then someone comes and goes, what is this dude doing?
Well, like I said, it's like that with anything in life. Like, you know, we're just different creatures from each other. We don't all like the same things. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be people who get what you do, and then there's going to be people who don't get what you do, and there's going to be people who don't get what you do and literally will tell you that, well, that's dumb, you know, because in their world, it's dumb. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you can't. This is another thing, too. People will praise you and people will criticize you. Take both with a grain of salt and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So don't get too high off the praise, and definitely don't get low off the criticism.
Right.
Especially if it's not from somebody that you trust.
Yeah.
That's just going to keep it 100 with you, you know.
Mm-hmm. And all right, last question. When it's all said and done, when the career's come to an end, when, you know, your great grandpa Pendleton, mm-hmm. What do you want your legacy to be? How do you, what's the lasting effect? How do you want to inspire people with your?
I kind of want to do it the way, you know, my man Allen Iverson came into the NBA. You know, he's like, yeah, I don't want to be Jordan. I don't want to be Magic. I don't want to be none of them guys. I just want to do what I do and do it my way. You know what I'm saying? And I want people to recognize that everything that I've accomplished, it's been done the way that I felt like it should be done. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I do what I do, man. I don't have a blueprint of how I do what I do. I just do me, literally. Yeah. So everything that I do, I feel like the reason why people connect with it is because they connect with me, not because they necessarily connect with a sound or anything like that. That's like the icing on the cake. But I feel like people connect with Wes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Overall.
Word up.
Yeah, bro.
Well, all right.
All right.
That's it. Episode 6 of the Beautiful Struggle Podcast. Wes, where can they find you on the interwebs?
My website is wes-pendleton.com, PENDLETON. You can find all my links through there, my Instagram, my SoundCloud, my Bandcamp. Mm-hmm. And you can pretty much find, you know, anything that you want to know about me, my bio and all that good stuff through there, man.
What's your Twitter and what's your Instagram?
My Twitter is Wes Penn, WESPEN underscore 215. And my Instagram is Wes underscore Pendleton. Mm-hmm. And my Facebook is Wes Pendleton Music. That's the URL, end of the URL.
And the beat tape comes out when?
June 30th.
Okay.
And you could pre-order it now.
All the tapes are gone?
All the tapes are gone. Sorry. They're already sold out. Uh-huh. But you can still pre-order it digitally. That will be available forever.
Word. All right. And please follow barefruit.com. Please go to our website, barefruit.com, B3ARFRUIT.com. You can follow Barefruit on Twitter at barefruit, B3ARFRUIT.com. You can follow Barefruit on Twitter at B3ARFRUIT. If you want to follow me on Twitter, Octavius A. Newman on Twitter and Instagram. If you like this podcast, leave us 5 stars and a positive comment on iTunes. You know, it's also going to be on SoundCloud as well. And we appreciate you guys listening. We got some more episodes coming up. Hope you guys appreciate this. Please correspond back and forth with Wes and I. Give us feedback on the podcast, what you liked, what inspired you, what affected you. Because we care. You know, we actually want to know that people are listening to it.
Yes.
People are liking it or not liking it. Or, you know, because the whole thing is, the hope is that you're inspired by it. So feedback is greatly appreciated. And also, we want to know how we can make it better. So, hit us up. Appreciate you guys listening. Looking forward to doing more. And who knows what Wes and Barefruit will do in the future. Who knows what the future will be? Who knows?
Who knows?
Do I know? Yeah. Am I going to tell you? No. But who knows?
Yeah.
Out there listening. Y'all don't. But you know, the future will tell.
Sounds all good,
right,
bro.
All right. Until next time, peace.